Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 179, Happy Amateur Teenth. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation.
Topic number one.
So, we have Juneteenth, but not a holiday memorializing the victims of 9/11. I wonder why that is. Juneteenth, not a thing. You know, I hear often, well, what is Juneteenth exactly? Well, Britannica.com defines it as this: the official name of the federal holiday Juneteenth, National Independence Day, also called Emancipation Day, Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, Black Independence Day, and Juneteenth Independence Day, holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. The article goes on to say that in 1863, during the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared more than 3 million slaves living in the Confederate States to be free. More than 2 years would pass, however, before the news reached black people living in Texas. It was not until Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865, that the state's residents finally learned that slavery had been abolished. The former slaves immediately began to celebrate with prayer, feasting, song, and dance. The following year, on June 19th, the first official Juneteenth celebrations took place in Texas. The original observances included prayer meetings and the singing of spirituals, and celebrants wore new clothes as a way of representing their newfound freedom. Within a few years, African Americans in other states were celebrating the days as well, making it an annual tradition. Celebrations have continued across the United States into the 21st century and typically include prayer and religious services, speeches, educational events, family gatherings and picnics, and festivals with music, food, and dancing. Mm-hmm. So this has been continuing into the 21st century, huh? Okay, I have tons of black friends, acquaintances, and business associates in the world of radio and entertainment. Not one has ever mentioned Juneteenth or that they were celebrating it in any way, shape, or form. Not one. The article goes on to say, Juneteenth became a state holiday in Texas in 1980, and a number of other states subsequently followed suit. In 2021, Juneteenth was made a federal holiday under President Coloring Book. This day is also celebrated outside the United States. No, it's not. Being used by organizations in a number of countries to recognize the end of slavery and to honor the culture and achievements of African Americans. In May of 2021, a Gallup poll revealed that 62% of Americans reported having little or no knowledge of what the new holiday is or means. A nearly corresponding 65%, including 43% of Democrats and even 32% of blacks, either oppose adopting Juneteenth as a federal holiday or, more often, are too unfamiliar with it to voice an opinion. And President Coloring Book chimed in saying, great nations don't ignore their most painful moments. They embrace them. Which sounds like he suggested that the abolition of slavery was a painful moment in American history. Of course, he never thinks before he speaks. Yeah, we know that's not what he meant, as Americans have to continue to decipher his nonsensical ramblings daily. However, by his logic, why the destruction of statues then? To be clear, just because I've never seen it or heard of it until the last couple of years doesn't mean it doesn't or didn't exist. And also, to be clear, it doesn't mean I don't think there shouldn't be a day to commemorate the end of slavery. But rather than segment a portion of the population, that is black people, and black people who literally were not affected by slavery one little bit, as this is several generations removed from slavery, why not be inclusive and make this a holiday to honor how far we've come as a nation? I mean, after all, it took the literal blood, sweat, and tears of an entire nation fighting in the Civil War to free the slaves. Why not, for a lack of a better word, market Juneteenth as a day of togetherness? Patriotism. Easy answer. There's no division in that. Juneteenth is, by woke standards, Black Independence Day, and yet no modern-day black people seem to celebrate it. And thus again, I ask, why no day of remembrance honoring those who died in the worst terrorist attack on American soil with the most casualties of all time on 9/11/2001? Easy answer. They don't want America to surge with patriotism every year. If you're old enough to remember, patriotism was at an all-time high that year and the following year with the Super Bowl halftime shows that brought a tear to your eye, flags seen everywhere, kindness and American pride at an all-time high. Can't have that again, can we? Never forget.
Topic number two.
This topic brought to my attention by Alert Pro Spoken Truth Revolution, found on Instagram, an article written by someone by the name of Lauren Rowello entitled, "Yes, Kink Belongs at Pride, and I Want My Kids to See It." All right, I'm going to stop you right there. Fine, let your kids see it, Lauren Rowello. But what's right, rather, what you think is right for your kids is not right for all kids. That is, when it comes to sex, sex ed, and subjecting children, underage children, to any kind of sex, sex education, or sexuality. The subtitle for her article, found in the Washington Post, by the way, is, "Children Need to Know That They Can Make Their Own Ways in the World." No, they don't. Children don't need to know that. Children need to know that their parents have their backs, that their parents will protect them from harm and will allow them to be kids. Adults need to know that they can make their own ways in the world, but not children. What have I been saying for the past year on this show? That Amateur Nation would be taking steps to normalize pedophilia. And the reason is so when, not if, but when, all the names of the pedos who frequented Epstein's Island are revealed, you will see a great reset of the likes this planet has never known. Governments will topple, empires ruined, Hollywood decimated. But if they start bringing kids to drag shows, teaching five-year-olds about any and all kinds of sex, including kink, prescribing hormone and puberty blockers against their will in many cases, or without parental consent, printing sexuality books for kids, euphemizing pedophilia as minor attracted persons, Supreme Court justices going soft on pedophiles, if they start doing all that, won't be a problem now, will it? I know, Amateur Nation, but that's not my problem because my kid is fine. Okay, now to this embarrassing article in the Washington Post, which I will dissect. Here's the article. Lauren Rowello writes this. "Our family often took the train into Philadelphia, but as we rode across the bridge to attend the city's Pride Parade 5 years ago, my wife's leg bounced with a nervous jitter. She squeezed my hand, worried that she might run into a colleague or be harassed by a stranger. My wife is trans and wasn't out at the time, so she typically only expressed her authenticity in the privacy of our home." Translation, he obviously wasn't looking like a woman, but merely identified and felt like one. Thus, why would he express her authenticity? Not to mention, that's irony, right? Authentic means real, the genuine article. Moving on. The article says, "That morning she wore a green skirt and light makeup, brushing her hair all to one side. Even though we'd attended pride marches and protests in previous years, that day was our first celebrating openly as a family. When our children grew tired of marching, we plopped onto a nearby curb. Just as we got settled, our elementary schooler pointed in the direction of oncoming floats, raising an eyebrow, even a child raising an eyebrow, at a bare-chested man in dark sunglasses whose black suspenders clipped into a leather thong. The man paused to be spanked playfully by a partner with a flog. What are they doing? My curious kid asked as our toddler cheered them on. Whew. All right, well, A, the child is, because all children ask a zillion questions as to what they're being subjected to, what they're seeing, what they're experiencing at that age. B, that is especially odd for an adult to see, let alone a child. C, for an amateur to retort with, why is it so odd, a question I would anticipate, it's because it's rarely seen, especially in public. Now, to be clear, it doesn't offend me in any way, shape, or form, because I'm an adult. But it doesn't need to be shared with children, any more than having a parade showing a heterosexual man simulating traditional sex with a woman. The article goes on to say the pair was the first of a few dozen kinksters who danced down the street, laughing together as they twirled their whips and batons, some leading companions by leashes. At the time, my children were too young to understand the nuance of the situation, but I told them the truth, that these folks were members of our community celebrating who they are and what they like to do. No, what you were doing is avoiding details in the truth. That is, these are adults participating in and or simulating sex acts or doing things that represent their preferred sexual practices. Of course, that statement would be too much for a young child to understand. So as a pedophile would explain, you made it seem like it's part of everyday life, an everyday life that even a child could enjoy. Also, so you could feel better about yourself and your lifestyle and sexuality. It's called grooming. The article goes on to say the kink community has participated in Pride since its inception, risking their jobs and safety to be authentically themselves in public. Of course, they don't have to do that. It's not a requirement. Why do you have to risk being your authentic self in public? Be your authentic self in private. The article says, still every year as Pride Month approaches, a debate erupts about whether kink belongs at Pride at all. Those hoping to oust kinksters often cite the presence of children as their top concern. That was pointedly the case this year when Twitter users argued that kink at Pride is a highly sexualized experience that children should be shielded from. Thousands of users supported these posts, claiming that kink at Pride crosses a line because minors also attend events. I agree that Pride should be a welcoming space for children and teens, but policing how others show up doesn't protect or uplift young people. For discussion, why is sex a means in which to uplift young people? Ever heard of sports, music, clubs, school, work, family? Nope, it's got to be sex. The article says, instead, homogenizing self-expression at Pride will do more harm to our children than good. When my own children caught glimpses of kink culture, they got to see that the queer community encompasses so many more non-traditional ways of being, living, and loving. And I ask this, what is wrong with traditional ways of being, living, and loving? They'll say, well, nothing, but why not show them other ways? Give them options. Well, because those other ways are ways that should be discovered, if needed, on their own, in private, as adults. Their article also says, as much as I want them to spend time in queer spaces so they can be with families like their own, I also want them to know that they shouldn't limit their understanding of what relationships or expression look like to whatever's most familiar. And you get to make that decision for them. Why? She says, I want them to see that they can make their own ways in the world. Right. You see the irony here? She wants them to see that they can make their own ways in the world, and yet she's introducing and forcing it upon them. They're children. They're going to say, nah, I don't feel like going. I'm four. You guys go on ahead without me. She says, and know that they'll be supported and celebrated by their community. God, am I sick of people having to be celebrated all the time. What the hell have you done that's worth celebrating? She says, if we want our children to learn and grow from their experiences at Pride, we should hope that they'll encounter kink when they attend. How else can they learn about the scope and the vitality of queer life? But kinksters at Pride are not engaged in sex acts, and we cannot confuse their self-expression with obscenity. Co-opting the language of sexual autonomy only serves to bury that truth and muddies the seriousness of other conversations about consent. Now, remember earlier when she mentioned a bare-chested man in dark sunglasses whose black suspenders clipped into a leather thong? The man paused to be spanked playfully by a partner with a flog? Now, granted, by definition, that is not a sex act. It certainly is a sexual act, but it's certainly not something a child sees every day, nor an adult outside of their bedroom or home. She says kink visibility is a reminder that any person can and should shamelessly explore what brings joy and excitement. False. Not any person, any adult. She says we don't talk to our children enough about pursuing sex to fulfill carnal needs that delight and captivate us in the moment. Well, good. Captivate us in the moment, translation, act first, worry about the consequences or long-term effects later. She says, sharing the language of kink culture with young people provides them with a valuable information set about safe sex practices, such as the importance of establishing boundaries, safe words and signals, affirming the importance of planning and research and the need to seek and give enthusiastic consent. Translation, if you talk enough about kink to underage children, it will assuage your guilt when you cross that line. And now her final comment here. I never want my children to worry that exploring any aspect of consensual sex or touch is too taboo. And that's why your kids will grow up confused and struggle even more than if they discover the sexuality and kinks that they might be interested in, if any, on their own as adults. To explore the world of kink and other sexual practices, one has to first get through puberty, dating, young adulthood, all the while exploring their sexuality so they can determine what they like or want as adults. You know, responsibly, steadily, and progressively at their own pace. Start slow, start traditionally, see what you like, if you like it, and as you grow older, then make up your own adult mind. These pedophilic amateurs want children to skip the discovery phase and dive into what they, as adults, already know and like. They have forgotten what it's like to be a child, to want to fit in, run, play, get hurt, play sports, get dirty, learn, discover other things besides sex. They think because they had a tough go of it as adults coming to terms with their sexuality, that they're doing children a favor and shortcutting them, thereby saving them heartache and struggle, when in reality, they have made it much harder. It's more confusing, it's more information than they need, not to mention they'll see how hostile and judgmental and non-inclusive many, not all, but many of the LGBTQ community treats those that don't go along with their dogma. And now, my favorite part of this article, because it was in the Washington Post online, comments from readers. One reader wrote this, "Public spaces are shared spaces. Restraining oneself in public is not oppression. It's considerate of other people's tastes and social norms." I mean, I think that kind of says it all. But I have a few more that I would like to read from people who read this article as well and commented. "Kids exposed to kinks in their formative years are certainly more likely to develop them themselves. And yes, you can be a healthy person and have kinks. But those tend to be folks who have discovered them later in life." Exactly what I said. "With children, there is a risk of paraphilic disorder, where the kink becomes so intense that the person can't connect intimately with others because they only get pleasure from their kink, or become pathologically addicted to their fetish to the point of distress, self-harm, financial, or legal troubles. When someone goes down this path at a very young age, it could become deeply ingrained in their psyche like this. I had little boundaries and supervision growing up, and I am speaking from personal experience here. I still can't connect intimately with other human beings, and it's driven me to be suicidal at times and put me in multiple dangerously abusive relationships. I'm 28 and still don't even know what my orientation is because all I have is my disorder. I've been in therapy for it for many years and am still in recovery. I wouldn't wish this on anyone." Another reader wrote this: "From my perspective, this is child abuse, pure and simple. Okay, different parents have different moral standards, but no child," she wrote in caps, "should be exposed to that stuff at such a young age. It's just inappropriate. I have huge difficulties with her views on sex and what she thinks is appropriate. That's important, but a different subject, I guess. But exposing young kids to this kind of stuff, hetero or homosexual stuff, is just not appropriate. I feel genuinely sorry for her kids." Another reader: "I am a socially liberal person, but I think exposing children of grade school age to a body, kinky, sexually charged adult carnival, which is what a large portion of the Pride Parade is about, is literally child abuse. It would be child abuse if you were bringing underage children to parades where straight people were expressing a celebration of their sexual freedom in graphic ways. I feel that exposing children who are too young to understand sexual orientations and feelings and who have not even reached puberty is an act that is more about you, Lauren, wanting to feel good about yourself and wanting approval for how amazing you are to expose your children to the wonders of a pride parade. Please stop. Protect your children. This is literally child abuse." You know, we've heard the expression, "so easy a child could do it." This is what Amateur Nation is trying to do. See? It's even okay for kids. So it's okay to be a minor attracted person. You know what? Pro Nation ain't buying it. Someone else wrote this: "Ick. What's next? Inviting NAMBLA back to the parade?" NAMBLA stands for the North American Man-Boy Love Association, a lobbying group of pedophiles who were kicked out of the Pride Parade decades ago. Someone else writes this: "No, just no. Middle-aged lesbian here. Back in the 1980s, we, the gay and lesbian community, put an enormous amount of energy into showing people that we were loving, caring human beings who were not a danger to society, to our workplaces, or our neighborhoods. Nobody I know even goes to Pride events anymore because they are no longer about celebrating our community, but instead, mostly a bunch of straights, like the author of this article, and kinksters trying to outdo themselves in being edgy and daring and shocking. No one wants to see your kink, and no child's understanding of sexuality is enhanced by being exposed to strange, naked grown-ups doing role play or pretending to be dogs. If you want to engage in that kind of play in private or with a group of like-minded adults, fine, but leave the kids out of it." And finally, this last comment from a reader: "You know who else thought it was okay to expose children to kink? The man who sexually abused me as a child. It sure worked wonders for me with all the trauma and all." You know, certain sizes are dwindling in the supply of No Amateurs t-shirts. Go to lucesantini.com/shop. You'll see you get a free No Amateurs keychain with every t-shirt purchase. And please continue to support this show by going to lucesantini.com and clicking on the yellow donate button, or go to paypal.me/amateurnation. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, lou.santini3, to see what's coming in 60-second previews for upcoming episodes. Topic number 3 is next. Did you get yours yet? The new No Amateurs men's and women's t-shirts and keychains. The men's tees are a soft, high-quality, pre-shrunk cotton poly blend
in sport royal blue, displaying the No Amateurs logo with the waving American flag centered atop.
Available in medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. The women's tees are a lightweight, super soft, high-quality, pre-shrunk cotton poly blend
in royal blue and are fitted, displaying the No Amateurs logo with the waving American flag.
Available in small, medium, large, and extra large.
The keychains are made from durable rubber with the No Amateurs logo and the waving American flag.
T-shirts just $22.95, keychain just $5.
Please add $6.95 for shipping and handling for all orders inside the U.S., but
free keychain with every t-shirt purchase, and if you spend $60 or more, your shipping is free. Available at lucesantini.com/shop. Be a pro. Say no to amateurs and order your No Amateurs t-shirt and keychain today.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read
the Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur
amateur habitats and history. Social media plus me, me, me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh-out-loud real-life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3.
Listen to this post on Twitter by NPR. It's at NPR, National Public Radio. Here's the tweet. Tampons, a necessity for many, are becoming harder and harder to find. People who menstruate are saying it's hard to find tampons on store shelves across the U.S. right now as supply chain upsets reach the feminine care aisle. Okay. If you think that tampons just happen to not make it to the store shelves due to supply chain issues, you're an amateur. So all the other feminine products and all of the men's personal products, shampoos, body lotions, mascara, deodorant, toothpaste, etc., no problem. Funny how the thing people who menstruate really need just can't seem to find them. Once again, this is an attack on America. You know, as a person who pees standing up, I'm dating a person who menstruates. It's so cool, and she loves being called that. This euphemistic, woke, inane language has to stop. Tell you what, here's my challenge, Amateur Nation. Show me a pregnant man, that is, a pregnant person who pees standing up, who bleeds out of his penis. I need a name. I need to see video. You can block out their face. I need to see video of blood coming out of their penis. Not urine that has blood in it. Real menstrual blood. And then I need to see them do it once every 30 days. And what's more, they need to do it for about 3 to 5 days. After that, I will need to see one more period the following month just to make sure that it wasn't a fluke or genetically engineered. In the meantime, shut the fuck up. I can't wait for the pregnant men to participate in Bring Your Child to Work Day, right? You claim to be a pregnant man. You're at the office. Your beer gut's just getting bigger. You're going along with the facade, telling everyone you're in your third trimester. I think there's going to come a time where it's time to put up or shut up after the, 12th, 13th month. Aren't your fellow employees going to go, hey, when are we going to see this magical baby you've been talking about the last 9, 10, 12 months? Huh? Bring it to work. Let's see it. Let's see some photos. Oh, sorry. Hang on. This just in. Shania Twain to recut and retitle her hit song, Man, I Feel Like a Birthing Person. Face it, ladies of the world. You need men. And maybe if you were a bit nicer to us and appreciated our efforts, you'd be happier and we'd be nicer. No one wants to be shit on or discounted. Men have no problem saying they need women. When I go to restaurants, I like to order off the a la carte menu. Been to Spain and Portugal, tapas, sample a little bit of everything. This is the a la carte segment. Here we go. Man, this climate change has been crazy, hasn't it? Woo, these last 10 years, what a difference. Oh, I'm sorry, last 20 years, what a difference. Now, last 30 or 40, it's not happening. Can you imagine if Trump didn't call out or prosecute citizens who threatened Supreme Court justices? Hey, remember hearing about those free drug zones in various Democrat cities around the country where they have houses where you can just go there and do heroin safely? Well, Oregon's drug overdose deaths have shot up. Thank you. 216%. Since legalizing hard drugs. I said it before and I'll say it again. This administration wants you dead. And from the rules for thee but not for me desk, Europe is exempting private and corporate jets from green aviation fuel taxes. And masks were not required for the celebrities at the Tony Awards, but the audience? Mask up, losers. Biden has said high gas prices increases the need to find alternatives. And as SDH2018 on Twitter astutely replied, me breaking your legs is an opportunity for you to find alternatives to walking. Hey, remember when COVID first started and MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, like a true patriotic American looking out for his fellow Americans, retooled his entire factory on the fly to make those precious life-saving masks? and yet Amateur Nation banned him from social media because he supported and continues to support President Trump. That tells you everything you need to know about where their hearts are. They would rather let people not have their precious masks that they swore worked so well simply because they didn't like how he thought, and they would be willing to sacrifice lives because they didn't agree with Mike's politics, a man who retooled a factory almost overnight to help save Americans. Shame on you, Amateur Nation. I mean, picture this, right? You have food stuck in your throat. You're choking. Here comes someone with a glass of water or ready to give you the Heimlich maneuver, but you wave them off because they voted for Trump. Enjoy your last breaths, amateurs. I saw a commercial for the BET Awards. Host Taraji P. Henson mentioned that it's a night of beautiful black people. Can you imagine if there were the White Entertainment Awards on the WET network celebrating a night of beautiful white people? Oh man. Three pro things. Three things that are done right. These are great. Number one. From the New York Post, Home Depot workers don't have the right to wear BLM gear on the job, says federal judge. Here's the article. Home Depot workers do not have the right to wear Black Lives Matter merchandise or imagery while on the job, a federal judge has ruled. In his ruling Friday, Administrative Judge Paul Bogus rejected a complaint from the U.S. National Labor Relations Board that the home improvement retailer violated employees' rights by barring them from displaying BLM gear. Bogus wrote that the BLM moniker lacked an objective and sufficiently direct relationship to terms and conditions of employment. BLM's message originated and is primarily used to address the unjustified killings of black individuals by law enforcement, he wrote. To the extent the message is being used for reasons beyond that, it operates as a political umbrella for societal concerns and related to the workplace only in the sense that workplaces are part of society, the judge said. See, here's the thing. Amateurs will argue the same tired argument. It violates my rights. Well, do you have a right to wear what you want in public? At your home? When you're not representing the company that pays you? Absolutely. You've seen the sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service. I mean, you can't come into a Home Depot without a shirt, without shoes, right? You just can't. There's safety issues, health issues. You're a customer. You're on their property. They are liable if you got a tool dropped on your bare foot or if you spread some kind of foot fungus throughout the store. Additionally, when you're representing Home Depot as an employee, you have to wear their orange vest with their logo on it to promote the store and so customers know who works there if they need assistance. But you don't have a right to personalize your work uniform. That's why it's called a uniform, as in unite the employees so as to identify them as employees and a team. But as I mentioned on number 9 of the 30 Truths About Amateurs, amateurs have a right to blank because they're alive. Do you bring your dating life to work? Your personal problems? Well, you shouldn't be. And you should leave your politics and religion at home too. It's work. It's not your home turf. Now go work. Celebrate communism, corruption, and embezzlement on your own time. Good for you, Home Depot. You just earned a customer. Number 2. Pro thing number 2 comes to us from former guest on the show, an absolute pro, Chad Jackson, whom you may have seen on the critically acclaimed documentary Uncle Tom. The man just oozes common sense. Listen to this post that he put up on Instagram. The claim of white privilege assumes that the bar in society is set just high enough for only white people, just by the virtue of their skin color, to jump. When I give examples of blacks of various cultural backgrounds having jumped that bar, the excuse then becomes that such blacks are upholding white supremacy. Of course, what they're saying is nonsense. The fact that there are non-conservative blacks who do quite well in society is proof that merit is the common denominator, not white supremacy. So in short, their logic is that basic standards of merit and decency is one and the same with a system of white supremacy, which conversely means that a society of entitlement and indecency is a better fit for black people. So my question is, he says, who is the real white supremacist? Man, that guy's smart. Number 3. And this is a quick tweet from at the Officer Tatum, Brandon Tatum. I'm guessing he's a police officer. He simply said this: so leftists want gun control so bad. Turn in your guns first. Lead by example. Once again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at lou.santini3. Subscribe and or follow me at Lou Santini Entertainment on Facebook and YouTube. Go to Etsy, do a search for No Amateurs Tees and get yours today, or lousantini.com/shop, and get a free keychain with every order. Or email the show with a topic idea or comment and get both for free. lou@lousantini.com. Because Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.